Open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 7. I want to read these verses of Scripture this morning. I think we'll have a better understanding of these verses if we read them. So you read with me as we look at these and try to connect them together. Mark chapter 7, verse 14. And we're still on the general subject of traditions versus the commandments of God. Verse 14, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." The Pharisees and scribes found fault with some of the disciples of Jesus. In verse 1 of this same chapter, these men had come from Jerusalem and they had seen the disciples of Jesus, and they had watched them as they prepared to eat, and they did not wash their hands according to a time-developed method. It wasn't that they didn't wash their hands, it's that they did not follow a traditional pattern of using the fist as they washed their hands. Because of this neglect, as these Pharisees and scribes interpreted, when they ate bread, they then defiled themselves. Jesus then proved that the Pharisees and scribes used and based their accusation on tradition and not on the commandments of Moses. He used the example of Corban and showed them that a tradition had developed that allowed a son to devote money that he had to the temple and thereby impoverish himself and not be able to care for his mother and father. But Moses had commanded that children care for their parents and prove that those who did not care for their parents should suffer the death, that is, be stoned to death. And Jesus said, "You set aside the commandments of God, and you've used your tradition rather than the commandments of God." And Jesus said that tradition then in the matter of washing hands had become more powerful than the other commandments of God. But in these verses, Jesus teaches all the people the true source of what we will refer to as personal defilement. In verse 14, the Bible tells us that he called the crowd close to himself again, and he addressed them and said, "Hear me, all of you." And he uses the word understand. That is, collect together all of the single features of what you have seen and form an objective compilation, and then use that as an understanding of what I've said. Sometimes we talk about being single-minded or focusing in on a particular problem. Well, sometimes you can focus in on the problem so minutely that that's all you can see, when really, if you would gather all of the information together and focus on the issue rather than a single point of the issue, you would have a better understanding of what has occurred. I think this week I can illustrate from our news and from incidents in our country what I'm talking about. Most all of the information we have received this week about the hardware that was missing in Building X in Alamogordo, New Mexico, that has to do with our atomic and hydrogen bombs, how to disarm them in an emergency situation. And all you've heard is that these two pieces of material were found behind a copy machine. Well, that's just a single issue, and what's frightening is what's going on. The whole circumstances of why they were missing, even if they didn't leave that secure building. What are the implications? Do the communist governments or terrorists have this information now? So rather than just saying, we know they thought they lost two things and now they found them behind a copy machine, and let it go at that. And I think maybe that's why American people are just totally uninterested. They don't absorb the entire circumstances and put them all together and grasp them within the context of what's happening. And this is what Jesus wanted to avoid. He didn't want these people to just get a little bite of information and single in on it and not completely grasp what was happening. And in verse 19, if you'll look at that again, you'll see that this is a revolutionary statement that Jesus is making. And I know it doesn't look that way. It sounds very simple, almost profane, and yet there is what I would term revolutionary setting aside of the Mosaic law and explaining to those people who were so traditionally set on not eating things that the law forbade that this had become a very basis of their religion. And that's not a difficult thing to happen. Now, Jesus told them the true source of personal defilement. Jesus said in verse 15, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. The word defile means to make common, to have contact and communication with others, and in so doing, be made ceremonially unclean. This contact that they refer to as coming from having a common contact had to do with being in contact with Jews who were called sinners, and these were the people who had been excluded from the synagogues and then, of course, from Gentiles. Remember, the context is eating bread. It's not drugs, it's not whiskey, or items of that nature. I don't want you to look at this and think that Jesus is saying, no matter what you put in your body, that's not going to hurt you or defile you or have anything to do with who you are and your Christian testimony or relationship to God. This is not what Jesus is saying. Remember, this is bread that we're talking about. So leave it in context. Don't look at this as a window of opportunity to eat or drink or take into your body anything that you want to. Jesus said, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. It is what comes out of a man that pollutes him. This is the statement that Jesus made. And then a very disheartening thing occurred. A discouraging thing occurred. And that is when Jesus entered in to the house where he was visiting, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And this is very disappointing to Jesus. It was frustrating. He had said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He assumed or presumed that his disciples understood what he was talking about. And they came and asked him concerning these statements that he just made in verse 15 and said, why don't you explain this to us? We're having difficulty. Jesus then goes into a more lengthy explanation of what he meant when he said that it's not what comes from without and enters into a person that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of a person. That's what defiles you. Verse 17, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him, they inquired concerning the parable. Jesus, as I said, was disappointed in what they asked. In verse 18, Jesus said, are you so without understanding also? Do I have to look at you people who have been accompanying with me, you people who have John's baptism, you people who have been a part of the assembly that constitutes my first congregation? Have you people not been able to comprehend and understand? And he uses the word in verse 18, perceive. Do you not perceive? Again, it has in it the idea of comprehending, to come to understanding because of conscious thought. In verse 14, Jesus said, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Well, in verse 18, he uses the word perceive, and perceive is what happens when you have gathered all the information and put it together. Then the understanding that you have then is the perception that Jesus is talking about here. And I think what he's saying is you know all the various points of information. You understand that, what the Pharisees have done, the scribes have done. You understand what some of our disciples did. You understand what I've said. You understand the process of Corban. You understand all of these things. These are various factors that we've been involved in. There are stimuli out there, intellectual, and you've taken it and you've made something out of it. But when you made something out of it, you don't comprehend or perceive what that means. You know, sometimes we can learn a lot of information from the Word of God about the church. And after we've gotten all this information together, we still don't understand. I talk to people all the time who can tell you what the word church means. They can tell you what that Jesus established his own church. Tell you the commission was given to the church. To give you a lot of accurate information, and then turn around and tell you they still believe in the universal church. Obviously, they've gathered a lot of information, but they still don't perceive. And this is what's frustrating to Jesus. I've given you illustrations from the Word of God and from your own tradition. I have taught you and I have expressed these spiritual truths to you, and yet you're confused, and you've come and asked me to explain to you what all is happening. And thank God that Jesus, being the Son of God and filled with patience, just does a more extensive job of his explanation. Here's the explanation. Remember, this is about eating bread. Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, now we're talking about eating bread, it cannot defile him. Now, why can't it defile him? That's the accusation that the people made in verse 2. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. This is the whole context and subject. So keep that in mind. And what did Jesus say? Do you not understand that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot, it is impossible for that to defile him because, now here's why, it enters not into his heart. There is the heart and there is the belly. The belly is important, but that's not where our moral character is found. Our moral character is found in our heart. It is not with our belly that we form a personal relationship with God. Now, we may form one with our wives, but not with God. Because they say the way to a man's heart is through his belly, but the way to God is not through your belly. Okay? God, now listen to me. This is important, folk, because there's a lot of this belly religion going on in God's churches today. Because they will tell you, and I had a hard shell, and it's hard for me to understand, a hard shell missionary in Australia who said, the only way you'll ever reach a man is through his belly. And we were talking about the fact that they entertained elaborately when people came to church. They entertained elaborately to get people to come to church. They entertained elaborately and offered all kinds of food and barbecues and things of this nature. And I questioned him about it, and he said, that's the only way we can get people to church. And I said, well, getting people to church is not getting them to God. And he said, you'll never get people to God unless you bring them through the belly first. That's strong, folk. That's heresy. Amen. God doesn't reach people by first attracting them through their belly or through sensuality or through physical things, okay? Now, this is important. Don't you understand? Now, here's the explanation, verse 19. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meat. Now, any food, meat, or vegetable, fish, or fowl, when swallowed, does not go to a person's heart. Therefore, it does not defile a man. And when you look at that statement, you have to also look at the next statement, which is revolutionary. Purging all meats are all solid food. Now let's think about the law of Moses. They couldn't eat pork, and that's normally what we zero in on, but they couldn't eat catfish, bottom feeding fish, and a number of other things that the law of Moses forbade. And that's what really is under consideration here. And Jesus is saying that this concept, that is, that what a man eats doesn't go to his heart, it goes to his belly, changes the whole concept of forbidden food.
purging all meats. He's not talking about the meat that's going out into the sewer after it's been digested. He's not saying that. He's saying that this concept literally cleans up all food. And I've told you these very important concepts as a Christian living on this side of the cross. All laws, rules, regulations, prohibitions, condemnations, and laws that would bring men to death for doing certain things of this character were nailed to the cross. So if you want to stop and pick up that armadillo on the side of the road and take it home, you have no religious laws that will forbid it. You want to eat possum? That's fine. God doesn't care. He has no choices or preferences. If you want to eat a gar, just cut his bill off and eat him. God doesn't care. That's your prerogative. Everything that is of the food nature has now been set aside for the consumption of mankind by the statement that Jesus has made here. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth him. Now, let's stop and think for a minute. What Jesus is saying is this. He is saying that our environment does not defile us. Our environment may teach us to do things that we do because we accept that information in our heart. But wearing certain clothing, eating certain foods, observing a certain day, all of these things have no impact on character. You can get 50 young people and you can bring them to the kitchen and you can feed them pizza and it'll be not a bit different than if you took them over to Simple Simon's and fed it over there. It's not sanctified by the place where it occurs. And you say, yeah, but now that we have done that, we're going to reach them for Christ. Well, what you're doing is saying you're going to reach them for Christ through their belly. No man has ever been saved by what went in his belly or what came out of his belly. Now, notice how plain this is. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart. It's with the heart that we made contact, that we make contact with God. He said, well, can't we use the belly to soften the heart? No. The belly doesn't soften the heart. The belly doesn't soften the intellect. Well, what softens the mind or the heart so that men can perceive and understand God? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not a biscuit. It's not manna. You say, well, we just create a friendly situation. Jesus went to people's homes. Yes, he did. And he ate with them. Yes, he did. But he also taught the Word of God, did he not? And it wasn't going to their homes that saved these people. It wasn't eating food that saved these people. It is when Jesus taught the Word of God and they received the Word of God that they then could have contact with God and relationship with God. Jesus isn't saying, in fact, he's just saying the opposite. He is saying that eating food is not an evil thing. It does not defile you to eat bread. We go back there this evening or tomorrow or there the next Sunday and eat bread. It's not going to defile us. These don't defile it. They don't make you who you are. Your belly doesn't make you who you are. It's your heart that makes you who you are. And it is the heart that must be changed, because from the heart proceed the things that make us bad people. In other words, if your heart wasn't bad, you wouldn't be bad. The reason you're bad is because your heart's bad. Somebody says, you know, if you steal, you'll become a thief. No. If you weren't a thief, you wouldn't steal. And you say, well, if you tell a lie, you'll be a liar. No, you were a liar, or you never would have said what you said. Now, I'm not making this up. This is what Jesus said. And you may say, well, you know, I haven't heard this stuff in a long time. You know why? Because we quit preaching it and started dosing out psychological babble. We want you to feel good when you come to church so that you'll come back again. We want you not to be offended by a strong presentation of God's Word, because we want you to like us. I'm talking as a preacher now. We want you to like us so we get some psychological mind candy and stay away from things like this, because we don't want you to be offended, because we want you to like us so our church will grow and people will reward us by speaking favorably of us. Now, you think that it's easy for a preacher to decide to preach the truth today? It is not easy. This is difficult. Why? Well, you see the results of it. You're sitting amidst it right now, all the empty pews. When people tell me, oh, Brother Penn, people are just hungering and thirsting to hear the truth today, I'm going to tell you that is not true. They are hungering and thirsting for entertainment. They are belly wise, not heart wise. And it's not just this generation. It's been that way since Adam and Eve sinned against God. This is just basic spiritual anatomy, okay? Now, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Now, evil thoughts. That is the explanation. And then Jesus will list some 12 things that come about because of evil thoughts. And this statement, evil thoughts, or these two words, mean consideration or thinking not merely evil thoughts, but evil devisings, which issue in degraded acts and vices that are then listed here in these 12 things that Jesus mentions. What Jesus says is this. It's the very same thing that's used when he said, "Do you not understand?" That is, do you take all the facts and figures and put them together and arrive at a conclusion, and then still yet you don't have the perception of what's going on? Well, Jesus is talking about here in evil thoughts that you look at all the circumstances and you put all these together with the idea of doing this evil thing. Covetousness, fornication, murder, all these things. Jesus uses the word adultery as not a symptom, but the act of the evil heart devising some method whereby a person can involve themselves in unfaithfulness in sexual matters. In other words, here's a man that's married, or here's a man that's single, here's a woman that's married, a woman that's single, and in their evil heart, not their belly, they begin to think about having a sex act with someone, some individual. Then they begin to plan how they could stay late at work or how they could do this or whatever, and devise a plan and a system where they can have a relationship sexually with someone else. And in our age, I don't say a woman, because now more men look at men for sex acts, it seems, than they do for women. I'm just speaking plainly this morning, and I don't apologize for it at all. Now, that evil devising doesn't come from the stomach. That planning and devising comes from the heart. Murders, which literally mean killing of a man, they're plotted, they're planned. The majority of them are. Thefts. This doesn't mean just picking something up at Walmart that you can put in your pocket and get away with. This is stealth and planning. This is when you go in with the idea of having an extra garment that's loose fitting and you can put some things under it and hide it. It's when you leave home, you've dressed so that you could steal something. That's how the heart of man is. It's not just, oh, I was walking through and I saw this blouse, or I saw this shirt, or I saw this piece of hardware and I wanted it, I just took it. No, this is knowing where it is in the store and knowing who's working there, and it's planning and devising a system. Covetousness, greed, the desire for more at the expense of others. I want more, but I don't want more simply because I work harder. I want more, but I don't want more simply because I invest smarter. I want more, but I don't want more simply because I'm able to put into practice some profitable business plan. No, I want some more because I'm going to take away what you have. I will decrease and diminish you financially for myself. Wickedness, porneia, bad, evil, pornographic, whatever it is, pornographic. Where does that all start? You say, well, it starts on the television. No, it doesn't. It doesn't start in Playboy. That's not where pornography begins. It does not start there. That's where it ends. But it starts in the heart of people who want money because it sells, or people who want watchers are listeners to what radio or TV. That's what pornography starts in the heart of people. Deceit, a bait. The adulteration of truth to catch or deceive.
And one of the a new thing in advertising is prescription medicine. Have you noticed that? The doctor, people go to the doctor and tell him, I want a prescription that I saw on TV. And the doctor says, okay, you know, they please us. All they, you know, they ain't going to fight you over that.
But as they advertise this medication that you can only get by prescription, they tell you what all the good things that it will do for you in loud, clear, slow phrases.
But how do they talk about the bad stuff? Not going to happen to you. Headache, diarrhea.
I mean, that's 50 words a second. You know, and you're thinking, headache, diarrhea, fainting, palpitations, heart failure. Why don't they give it equal time? You know why? Because they deceive you. Oh, by the way, you may die if you take it, but you'd feel good while you were dying, I suppose. I don't know. Deception. Deceit. Can people be that way about religious matters?
You listen carefully. There is a way to preach Jesus that is blatantly wicked.
He said, well, brother, I believe we ought to preach Jesus. I do too, but I believe it ought to be the truth about Jesus. You know, there are people who preach that Jesus is the way to save your marriage, but he's not. Preach that Jesus is the way to have good health. Jesus is the way to have wealth.
I tell you what Jesus is good for. He's good for what's in the heart. Because, listen to me, you're responsible for what's in the belly. Jesus will help you with what's in your heart. He said, well, I want Jesus to help me lose weight. You know how to lose weight. He said, well, I just want Jesus to infuse me with the power of his Holy Spirit. No, just quit shoving them burgers down your throat, okay? God ain't got anything to do with that, okay? That's you that's doing that. God isn't doing that. God isn't opening your mouth and poking stuff down it. That's a belly thing, okay? And you control the belly, okay? Lasciviousness, excess, immoderation in anything, wantonness, evil eye. This has to do with an expression that means envy and jealousy, a jealous grudge, blasphemy. That is slander against God or slander against people. Pride. Appearance over, that's the literal translation of the word, is hyper. Appearance. So it means to create an appearance that is not correct. With the idea that you will be considered better than others. And it always carries the idea of impiety with it. Foolishness. Without mind, without thinking, destitute of any sound principle, senselessness. Look what Jesus said in verse 23. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now this is revolutionary, people, to Jews who've been taught for centuries that you can't eat pork, and if you eat pork, you're going to defile yourself. You are now ruined in the sight of God. This is a terrible thing. And they got to where they were thinking a lot more about that than any other of the commandments of God, is to observe these things so strictly and everything. And Jesus said, look, that pork chop, you eat it,
It's carried out into the sewer system. What you people don't understand is the way you talk, what's in your heart, your mentality, the way you think. These are the evil things that are going to produce out of you that which is defiling and condemnatory in the sight of God and man. And that's why Jesus was so upset at the Pharisees. Man, they were so clean on the outside, but what did he say about the inside of them? They were like a grave. On the outside, they were really whitewashed, but on the inside, they're full of filth and dead men's bones. They're like a cup that's washed on the outside, but on the inside, they're filthy. I would describe our generation that way today, would you not? People who are well scrubbed on the outside, many of them, but their hearts are far from God.